Fred Film Radio, Sydney Jewish International Film Festival, Australia.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, and I'm in conversation with Eddie Tamir, the artistic director of the Jewish International Film Festival. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Cristiana. Good to be speaking to you again.
Absolutely. Same here. Very good to have the opportunity to talk about the Jewish Film Festival again this year.
Yes.
Actually, Eddie, I would like to start with an overarching question, because I remember when we spoke last year, we were 1 year into the pandemic. So my question is, how cinema is surviving 2 years of pandemic from your perspective?
Yeah, I think firstly, there's no definitive answer because the patterns, you know, it's too erratic and it's too early to know the big story and the big picture, which is really if 2019 was a record box office cinema year globally, where are we at as a percentage of 2019? And that is the big question, and that's too early to actually answer, you know, with any real confidence. All that being said, November, December, once we reopened, was very strong for blockbuster business, Spider-Man, James Bond, et cetera, et cetera. The older audience, a combination of not having the film product to suit their taste, as well as probably an extra element of fear for the older audience, understandably, meant that didn't see many of that demographic in cinemas. January was a write-off for everything because of the Omicron variants, and nobody did anything, not big and not small, not young and not old. Then something interesting happened mid-February with the film Belfast, and Belfast clearly skewing to more art house, probably older demographic, started to bring people back to the cinemas and saw people really for their first film in 2 years. Now we're in March. Obviously, famously, Batman is doing well for that demographic. And film festivals like GIFF, the signs are good. And the momentum is building. And where that will end in terms of the great comparison to 2019, can't answer.
Yeah, for sure. But I sense some optimism in your answer.
Yeah, definitely. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm always optimistic. You know, definitely the momentum is building, even, you know, with GIFF, for example. You know, it's a long festival, runs over 5 weeks, so there's plenty of time for word of mouth to build, as well as it's coinciding with masks off and a general easing in Australia. And we can tell already that we are, you know, the momentum is building. So, yes, we are optimistic.
Oh, that's really, really good to hear, Eddie. Let's talk about GIFF, Jewish International Film Festival, that opened on the 2nd of March and it runs until the 3rd of April. And the program includes 55 premiere films from 20 countries. And this year has a strong focus on heroes who were able to change the world. And we are definitely living in a changing world in this, you know, era of uncertainty and so forth. So tell us about the films that you present this year and your highlights.
So I think you don't have to go much further than the thematics of, I guess, change makers and those that embody the hero's journey. Then Simone Veil, A Woman of the Century, the film's called. And interestingly, we are, for COVID reasons, the world premiere of that film, because the French release has been postponed till October due to COVID. So it's very exciting to be presenting this film. And Simone Veil is really not in the zeitgeist of, I guess, Australia, America, but in Europe, she's, I think, known as the, I guess, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of Europe.
Yeah.
And, you know, Holocaust survivor, lawyer, human rights advocate, member of French Parliament, and ultimately the president, the first female president of the European Union, which kind of, I guess, brings us, you know, almost full circle to the political issues of the day. But, yeah, colossal, you know, person and a real difference maker in the world.
And she was definitely an icon, at least, as you said, in Europe, maybe not so much in Australia. So it's good that this is the opening night. That was the opening night film, and will give Simone Veil's story more visibility in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. The other, sorry.
No, I was saying other highlights.
Yeah, well, you know, we're already, you know, I guess we've had a, you know, a couple of weeks of the festival. So the word of mouth is building, you know, very strong momentum. And one of the big films is Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song. And the response to this film has been immense. And, you know, at the outset, people have said, oh, you know, we've seen a lot about Leonard Cohen and seen stories and, you know, what could possibly be still of interest. And this film is moving, surprising, and really bringing audiences in. And it obviously, due to its, you know, given its name, Hallelujah, it focuses on the song Hallelujah. And the writing creative process for Leonard Cohen over a decade, where he wrote 80-odd verses of the song and tracks the CBS Records album release that it was on. I think it was called Various Positions, something like that. And the American record company said they had no interest to release the record in America, didn't really have what it takes. And obviously, 40 years on, the song has evolved to the point where it's become a universal anthem for across all nations, all religions. And the film tracks that very unlikely journey from just a very, you know, young poet to a song that really arguably, you know, has changed the world for the better.
Yeah, and it's indeed a very loved popular song in this country. As I think Australians relate very well to Leonard Cohen in general, but that song is extremely popular in Australia.
Yes.
Eddie, the festival this year includes also an Australian section. How this came about? I think because it's a new addition to GIF.
Well, you know, we're always obviously on the lookout for Australian premieres, and they're hard to come by, and just fortunate to have a cluster of films that that fit the bill, and excited to present them. We the documentary The Narrow Bridge by first time Melbourne filmmaker Esther Takacs, she's done a great job. The film's really been well received, well made film. She's a clinical psychologist, Esther. And she spent a lot of time in Israel. And The Narrow Bridge focuses on two men. One Israeli Jew and one Israeli Arab, both fathers who lost children in the conflict. And it's about their story, each of their stories, and how they try to heal themselves, each other, and the wider world. And it's very, very well done. Then we have Mother Mountain, also by a first-time female director called Selena Stange. And it's a personal story, a drama, which has a cross-cultural Jewish and Australian Indigenous dimension to it, about a young mother and her partner and her children that go, for various reasons, leave the big city and go to a rural area of Australia where there is a big indigenous population and a particular mountain that is considered important to the local culture. And she connects to that culture and finds a way forward. And the third Australian film we're premiering is a very interesting story. It's called Marianne Mutti, and it's focused on a woman who left Europe around the time of the war. She was an opera singer and a classical musician, and she performed in Australia. And I guess more importantly to her story, after her passing, she leaves a scholarship for upcoming opera singers and classical musicians called the Marianne Mutti Scholarship, and many of the famous Australian performers in those fields have received that scholarship, and it's the story, you know, there's a lot of their stories.
I heard from her because she was, she still is quite an icon, both at NIDA and the Conservatorium here in Sydney.
Yes, yes.
She taught there for many, many years.
Yes, and had a big impact and still does.
Yeah, yeah. I remember a picture of her in the Conservatorium here in Sydney. Mm-hmm. When I was browsing the program, I was surprised by, positively surprised, by your choice in relation to the closing night film, The Beauty Queen of Jerusalem, because it's a series, it's not a feature film.
Yes.
And this is, I'm not say unusual, but it's not that common. Tell us more about the series and why you have chosen for the closing night.
Yeah. So, you know, TV, as we all know, and especially TV that is series that are obviously highlighted in many streamers' lineups, attracting a lot of the great talent of the world. And, you know, it's very exciting to be able to present. Very difficult for festivals to get TV series because most of them are streamer productions, and there's not really often a window to be able to show series in a theatrical context. So we love it if we can. We do have a history actually of doing a bit of it. We've showed Stissel, the original series, Fauda, False Flag, some of the iconic series, and obviously Israel is particularly hot in the last few years in terms of accessible television. Beauty Queen of Jerusalem is the hot new series out of Israel. We're showing the first two episodes, so 100 minutes worth. And it's kind of in the spirit of a Spanish telenovela, actually. It's quite, it's got that melodramatic tone to it. And it follows two families in the 20th century, in the early 20th century to the mid 20th century. What is now Israel, and follows a Sephardi family and an Ashkenazi family through the very turbulent, 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s and really, the Ottoman Empire, the British Mandate and the establishment of the State of Israel, and going through those years and all the dramas between the families and their interaction with the very volatile history that happening in throughout those years.
That sounds very interesting. Is one of those family saga which is always entertaining and gives an opportunity to learn history. So is there any opportunity you think in Australia to see the rest of the series?
We're working on it. There's no actual announcement by any of the streamers yet for broadcast, so we're working hard to try to find a way to bring the remainder of the series to audiences. But stay tuned.
Yeah, we will. Another observation I have in relation to the program this year, and is an observation and also a comment, not necessarily a question, but several films in this year program tell stories related to World War II, Baby Yar, Context, The Conference, Plan A, The Painted Bird, just to name a few. And those films bring along a gloomy, dark past that we thought it belonged to the history books. And now, as we speak, there is a war going on in Europe, and we still don't know how it is going to end. How surreal is that, Eddie?
Yeah. So, you know, even before the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, and in the previous years, there have filmmakers and artists have continually, looked at, I guess, war in general and telling stories. And definitely around that Second World War period, there's a continuous exploration of the themes and the stories that emerge, which I think for filmmakers and artists in general, obviously they see a contemporary resonance anyway. And I guess that's why these stories are told, and obviously more so, as you say, in this surreal way, moment in time when, Europe is aflame again. And it goes even deeper than that. We have a film called Carol of the Bells, which is a very beautiful drama, and it actually is a Ukrainian film, and it is it's set in the Second World War and actually into the Soviet era, and it focuses on a Jewish family, a Ukrainian family, and a Polish family. And the title Carol of the Bells refers to a Christian song, and that song runs through the film. Yeah. And it's a very powerful story about, the relationships of various religious groups, in a European country. So, it's almost too specific for comfort in terms of what it explores. And, many themes of what it's like. There's actually quite a few films about what conflict does and how it changes the status quo between people and different communities in a particular country. I mean, we have probably three films that explore that theme in an interesting way. One is Shadow Country, fantastic Czech film, about a village in the Second World War period on the Czech-Austrian border, and it explores, again, the relationship between the Jewish population there and the non-Jewish population of Czechs and of Austrians in that town, and how things change once conflict arises. And then outside that Second World War period, just to emphasize how, there's nothing new under the sun, and how conflict continues in all periods of history. There's a film called Neighbours, which is actually set in 80s Syria, just when Hafez Assad comes to power and brings with him a particular anti-Israel and anti-Jewish sentiment to him. And there's a village on the border there, which is has many Kurdish people and Jewish families, and it's a story focused on the relationship between a Kurdish family and a Jewish family at that time in history. So, many stories with conflict, really putting relationships between people and communities under the microscope.
Yeah, and we are seeing exactly the same circumstances in real time when we watch the news these days because of all these displaced people in Ukraine. So there is that really an incredible and surreal common denominator here.
And the complexities of immigration and conflict. And I think you mentioned you saw a film called Wet Dog. And I think that's probably a bit of an under-the-radar film for us. I think not many people have seen it as yet, but the word of mouth has been excellent. And I think just there you have a story about a young Iranian boy whose family immigrates to Germany and what he experiences and what leads him to do some extreme things, such as joining a neo-Nazi gang of all things in Germany, and just the incredible circumstances and true life circumstances to describe his journey, and a fascinating place that it ends up.
Yeah, a great film I watched last night. Yeah, a really interesting angle to tell that very poignant story. Eddie, I have one last question for you.
Yes.
And this is about this, again, we use the word surreal a lot today, this surreal pandemic era, because I was reading a recent interview, your interview with a newspaper, and you said that since traveling overseas has been problematic, you had to rely on films being sent to you again this year to make your selection for GIF. How this new normal has impacted the way you select films?
I don't like it. And our team doesn't like it. And in fact, we're booked to go to Cannes in May this year.
So great.
Hopefully the last 2 years is something that we can just forget about and move on to, you know, experiencing and I guess considering films in the context of a group experience, because that is the best way to experience and get feedback from audiences in real time, and adds a dimension of knowledge that just watching it on your computer doesn't allow for. So, we did our best, and we think we have a very, you know, impressive, compelling lineup this year, but, it'll be all the better for when we can experience things collectively.
Oh, yes, I think all our fingers are crossed and hoping that this is the last year of this hybrid virtual life experience, actually.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Eddie, for your time. It's always a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for being interested in what we do. And interestingly, we will be going again in October, November, where we go back to our normal dates.
For GIF.
So there'll be two GIFs in 2022. Yes, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, wow, what a year. Two GIFs in 1 year. Yes. That's a treat.
Yeah.
So GIF opened on March 2nd and runs until April 3rd in Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Brisbane, Canberra, and for the first time also in Surfers Paradise. I have been talking to Eddie Tamir, the artistic director of the Jewish International Film Festival, and I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.